You found something?
Yes, my lord.
That's it. The rebels are there.
My lord, there are so many uncharted settlements.
That is the system. Set your course for the Hoth system.
As long as everybody behaves, this will be quick and painless.
Did you hear that? We're doomed.
Welcome to Echo Base, your weekly water cooler discussion exploring Star Wars news, issues, mythology, and understanding that galaxy far, far away.
We will use all our resources to unravel this mystery.
Dodging Imperial probe droids while leaving no topic unturned in this frozen wasteland.
You're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
Now live. Dock the snowspeeders and lock up the tauntauns. It's time for Echo Base.
It's not Tatooine, that's for sure.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 7 standing by.
Red 3 standing by.
Red 6 standing by.
Red 9 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Right now I feel like I could take on the whole Empire myself.
Cut the channel, Red 2.
Standby alert.
Target, maximum firepower.
Imperial troops have entered the base.
Close the doors.
Yes, sir.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Echo Base. We've got a great episode for you this week because earlier this morning, we have the release of the final trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. So, of course, what we're going to do, we're going to talk about the trailer, go through it. Scene by scene and break it down for you. So, Chris, Lou, how you guys doing tonight?
Good.
I'm doing well.
Excellent, excellent. Working on the video stuff. We got Lou with kind of a green screen. Well, it's a dark green screen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get it lit later. We're testing it out. That's okay. Chris, we got to get you one too.
Yep.
We got to get you a Mac too. That's the next thing. I just offered to like get him a free Mac, and he's like, "Yeah." It wouldn't
at this
be free.
Point, I'll take anything I can get.
Yeah, well, it's not actually going to happen, but it's
I'll take Chris's Mac.
There you go. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to play the trailer real quick, and then we're going to talk about it and get your opinions on it, and hopefully the audience members will write in and give us your opinions on it. But first, let's check out the trailer.
Jin, whatever I do. Do it to protect you. So you understand?
I understand.
You want to get out of here?
Our rebellion is all that remains to push back the Empire. You think you might be able to help us?
When was the last time you were in contact with your father?
What is this? It appears he is critical to the development of a super weapon.
If my father built this thing, we need to find him.
All right. How many do I need?
They are requesting a call sign. It's, Rogue One.
The power that we are dealing with here is immeasurable.
If the Empire has this kind of power, what chance do we have?
We have hope. Rebellions are built on hope.
Take hold of this moment. The Force is strong.
Make 10 men feel like 100.
We'll take the next chance. And the next. You're all rebels, aren't you?
Save the rebellion! Save the dream!
All right, so there we go. The final trailer for Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. What do you guys think? Overall thoughts?
I loved it. I'm ecstatic.
You're ecstatic? Just don't touch your wife or you might zap her if you're static.
No, not static. Ecstatic.
Previously static.
I am really, really, really looking forward to this movie. It looks amazing.
It does.
I mean, I was getting kind of worried before when you were talking about toning the violence down and the war aspect of it down. But you know what? I think they have kept everything I want to see in there as far as the level of the fighting, the hand-to-hand combat stuff, the infantry type combat looks awesome. So yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah. Chris, you feel the same?
Yeah, I think I like this trailer better than any of the other TFA trailers.
Yeah.
And Rogue One trailers too. So,
you know, what's interesting about this is it seems like, I mean, I love The Force Awakens, but it appears so far that this movie is going to be so much more action oriented than The Force Awakens, which can be good and can be bad as long as you're still balancing the story with the action. But it looks like we're also going to have that. So I'm really excited about this. It's hard to judge like the reaction to it because it's a great looking trailer and the fan reaction is already just overwhelming. And people are saying, oh, this could be the best Star Wars movie yet. I've been saying that all along. Chris and Lou, I think like when we saw it at Celebration, we were thinking, you know, this could be a game changer for Star Wars. We may end up liking this better than at least most of the saga, if not all of it. But it's hard to say that objectively on the day the trailer comes out. You know, because it's like the excitement level so high and it's like, well, of course, today you're going to think it's the best thing since sliced bread. But what are you going to think next week?
Yeah.
Or, you know, 6 weeks from now and the hype dies down. And, I don't know. You guys think that this is where your expectations are going to sit? You think this is the level? You think they're set appropriately right now? I mean, that's the point of a trailer is to set. Well, no, the point of the trailer is to get people into the seats to make the money.
Right.
Theoretically, the point of the trailer should be to set audience expectations so that they go into the movie and are satisfied by what they're seeing. So do you think that this set your expectations and that this is where your expectations are going to remain until December 16th?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I have a hard time answering that question because expectations, you really don't know what you're going to get until you get into theater. I mean, you can cut a trailer 10 different ways and get 10 different movies out of that, really. I mean, we've all seen the way they've, you know, played around and cut up different trailers with different sound and made it look like, you know, the one that comes to mind is the one from Mrs. Doubtfire, where they made it into a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can cut this however you want and make it look different. I'm hoping they're trying to stay true to what we're going to get in a theater so that when we get there, we're expecting what we saw so far.
Yeah.
You know, it feels awesome. It looks like the best Star Wars movie we've had.
It really
so
does.
So far, you know.
Yeah. Well.
And now I'm even more excited.
Can I say something that's kind of...
Go ahead, Chris.
Can I say something kind of controversial?
Absolutely. So, that's what we're here for.
When I watched the trailer, I watched it for once this morning.
Yeah.
And then I watched it at work on the computer there on a slightly bigger screen. And I thought to myself, you know, I wouldn't mind if they remade the original trilogy to look as visually impressive as this.
That's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at randomchatter.com, ladies and gentlemen. And just make sure you like put that, in the title, you put hate mail so that Lou and I can filter and just, you know, into a folder somewhere and don't have to read it. Chris.
I don't want them to remake the trilogy. I'm just saying if they did and it looked this good, I wouldn't immediately object.
I would rather them remake the prequels before they remake.
Well, yeah, they would remake everything.
Yeah.
As good as that. But
I mean, you know, at the risk of being put in the same bucket with Chris and all the hate mail, I kind of agree. I mean, you know, it would be nice to see those movies remade shot for shot with new technology, you know, better cameras, you know, better effects, not CGI stuff, but better effects in general.
Right.
you know, it would look amazing. But
I mean,
I'm happy to focus
on just think about the Battle of Hoth.
Oh yeah,
or even the Yavin Battle
or Return of the Jedi, the Battle over Endor.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that, well, the battle on Endor, on the moon, too. I mean, it's never going to happen.
No.
But I see where you guys are coming from. And the point is that the fact that you feel this way, I think what that's really saying is that Star Wars has come to modern cinema and modern storytelling. And it, like, it's being done right. At least it appears to be. So it's a little harder with the saga, because with the saga, you have to hit a certain tone all of the time. And I think that's where we're really going to see a departure with Rogue One, because you're not locked into that sort of tone. You still have to get the general Star Wars tone, but you can go in a different direction with it. You can go darker, or you can go into a different genre. Or things like that. And these anthology films, I mean, that's their opportunity to do this. So it looks like, based on the fact that you guys are saying this, that A, this is probably going to be wildly successful, and B, they're doing it right. And at the end of the day, that's really all we care about, right? Is, you know, do it right. Don't care about what the critics say. Don't care if it doesn't make as much at the box office. Give us a good movie. Do it the right way. Do it correctly.
Yeah.
Maybe not the way we want it to be, but just, you know, you don't have to meet everybody's wish lists, but you know what I mean by right. Just make a good quality film. Mm. And it looks like we're getting exactly that. And this trailer was just off the hook. It was phenomenal.
Oh yeah.
Let's take a look at it real quick. Mm-hmm. We're going to scrub through it. Now, we don't have the audio as we're scrubbing through it here. I'm just doing this on my iPad here. You notice, when you go to the YouTube thing and you've got the shot there, before you click play, you've seen the AT-ATs with the discolored side panels, right? Where it's kind of an orangish or something. I don't have the screen up in front of me, but and then there's one in this shot. There's one off in the background that's just hollow, like you can see right through it. So it almost looks like it's one of those modular transport type of things where it's you know, like the helicopters where they go and they land on like a crate and then they attach it to the helicopter and they pick it up and it looks like it's part of the fuselage of the helicopter.
The sky crane ones.
So that was kind of interesting to me. I mean, it seems to make sense. It's something we haven't seen before, but it's kind of cool.
I didn't realize I was gonna have a guest on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, that's all right. Get him a microphone.
Yeah. So let's just kind of hang out there. Oh, she is, yeah. So think
of all the stuff we can do with green screen and the cats. We can have them out the airlock floating through space in the background. Oh, that's going to be awesome. All right, so the opening shot, we've got, who was it? I've said this before. I'm going to be horrible with the names intentionally. I'm trying to, you know, the visual look is fine. I'm trying not to get too attached to the characters and stuff yet. I want to see how the movie gets me attached to the characters. This is one of the only times that we really get to experiment with this sort of thing. So I want to go in not having every single little detail of background about the characters and know, you know, how they interact. I want to go in as unfamiliar with the characters as I can be to allow the movie to do its job. I want to see how well it does its job. I want to see how close to the mainstream audience I can end up getting, which is kind of hard for us. So again, forgive me if I get all the names wrong, but this is director Krennic's shuttle. Am I correct?
I would imagine so.
All right. Kind of skimming over the surface there. Beautiful shot. Got the Death Troopers. And then we've got something we hadn't talked a lot about in the past because we thought maybe it would be interpreted as a spoiler, but we've got Jyn's father. Galen, is it? I think his name's Galen. Doing better with the names than I thought. Talking to Jyn as a small child.
Yep.
And then a rather ominous looking scene of her in a field and her father and Director Krennic and stormtroopers, death troopers. It kind of foreshadowing where that's going to go. There's not a whole lot of doubt in my mind how that scene's going to end. So far, just in that first 30 seconds, we've got a good amount of backstory established. And we end up with her in a prison cell.
Right. And, you know, it does make a point of showing you her watching from the weeds as Dad gets taken away.
Right.
Which I think is pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So then that begs the question, how much about her does the Empire know about? Did they know she was there in weeds and just didn't do anything about it? I mean, you've got to figure the stormtrooper helmets have, like, you know, thermal visor, such and such, right? I mean, they probably knew she was there. And like, yeah,
I don't know. You'd think they could take a blaster shot, too, but, you know, well, apparently not.
That's true.
This is still early on in the Empire, too. So.
The Rebellion have really good blasters. Listen, the stormtroopers, the general stormtroopers, their armor is supposed to intimidate. It's not supposed to actually... Nobody is supposed to be stupid enough to actually shoot at one of these guys. Right? I mean, come on. So yeah, if you're going to mass produce 18 gazillion of these, you can save a lot of money by making them
out of plastic instead of blast armor.
Halloween costumes instead of actual body armor. Yeah. Save the actual body armor for things like the Death Troopers and stuff. You know, and if they introduce that as kind of like an actual part of canon, I'd be cool with that.
That'd be awesome.
But I mean, it would make sense. Right. And then we see the First Order stormtroopers actually kind of kicking butt. And being the stormtroopers that we kind of thought of all along when we were watching the original trilogy as kids. But
yeah.
Yeah. Someday we will get Pablo on the show. And we'll say, okay, it's been enough years now. You can come out of retirement and answer some questions about, you know, nitpicky, nonsensical, you know, canon contradictions and stuff like that. And we're going to ask him this. It's kind of like the whole, you know, when I die someday and I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to ask is who shot JFK? Well, see, this is when we get Pablo on the show again. Well, I say again, you know, he was on the Force cast and everything. But when we get Pablo on, that's my question for him.
There you go.
Stormtroopers. All right. So
we quickly break Jin out of prison.
What do you think of the backstory up to this point? Is this this is one of those movies where there's got to be a balance of story because you have to get connected to the characters. But then it's kind of like we were talking about this before we started. It's kind of like Titanic, right? We know the ship's going to sink. We know it hits an iceberg. The ship sinks. You know, otherwise it's just about the body count.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of the same thing. We know the Death Star is going to survive. We know the Death Star plans are going to end up in the hands of the rebels. And everything else is just the body count. So.
Well, I mean, we're going to get a lot more out of this story, too. We're getting some Jin backstory. We're getting the information about her father. They introduced that. So now we can talk about that when she's being, you know, talked to by Mon Mothma and the rest of the rebels. You know, they talked about her father, when's the last time you saw him, and, you know, then there's a part later on saying, if he did build this, we need to find him now. So, you know, you're getting all this backstory, so you care about why Jin's doing this, which I think is great. It's not just about the war thing and that's it. It's really getting us attached to who Jin is, and we'll all be, you know, tears in her eyes when she's dying at the end of the movie.
You know, we haven't gotten into the Deadpool yet of, you
know, who's going to die?
Who's going to die and who's not? Yep. I mean, we should almost
set up
some kind of little betting thing. You know, is it going to be that basically everybody dies except one or two people, or is it going to be that only one person dies, but it's going to be like such a dramatic death? I don't know. A lot of Imperial imagery in this. So at about 36 seconds through the trailer, you get a prison breakout. They're flying her away. And here's an image that kind of caught me. A lot of people are talking about this. As they're flying over the desert, there's this, my iPad's kind of not cooperating with me. I got to get a lower resolution version of the trailer later.
Well, it's the remnants of some giant statue.
Right. And it kind of looks like it might be perhaps a Jedi holding what might be a lightsaber.
I can only imagine. And, you know, you can see how large this is by the shuttle flying or the whatever it is flying over it.
Yeah.
I mean, the ship flying over it is tiny.
One of the fingers from this statue is still like, what, 8 to 10 times as big as the shuttle? One of the fingers.
Yeah, it looks that way.
Yeah.
It looks gigantic. So that's going to be pretty cool to see.
And it also makes you wonder about the history of this location, too. I mean, if they were so enamored with the Jedi that they would build something like that. And then later it gets knocked down somehow, presumably by the Empire.
Yeah, been there for a long time, evidently, from what it looks like.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else do we have here?
Well, we're quickly into the Rebel Command Post. You know, Jin talking with Mon Mothma and the rest of the Rebels, and we saw Inside have a hangar there pretty quick.
Yeah. And apparently, from the dialogue, she doesn't know the status of her father.
Right.
Yeah. It's like it implies that she hasn't talked to him perhaps in years.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah. Chris, any thoughts up until this point? You've been quiet. I don't know if you're holding out for something big or...
No, I'm just taking it all in.
There's a lot to take in this trailer. That's the thing. Like, shot for shot, in this trailer, this is a meatier trailer than the other two combined. There's a lot of meat in this one.
Yeah, even, I think this is, there's just a lot going on. And, like, I watched it on my TV before we started recording. And, you know, even then, it was just a lot to get all at once.
Yeah,
I watched it 3 or 4 times on my television, so I see it on a big screen before we recorded, just to see it. And you know, the one thing we haven't talked about yet, and this is my first reaction to this when I watched it on my phone at lunch today, was the music. I really like the themes of the music they played so far in this.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's not real music, though.
It's not real music.
Well, no.
I know what you mean.
Not like
it's just some guy playing the spoons in the background.
I like the theme.
No, I see what you're saying, Chris. You think this isn't actually going to be from the score of the film as much as it is just music that was created for the purpose of the trailer.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know.
It was
I think
that epic TFA trailer music that was out, and it turned out to be just some, you know, creative for the trailer.
I don't know. I'd be surprised.
Not to say it's bad.
There's so much stuff about the trailer about the music for this movie so far that we talked about of, you know, changing this and that. I'm excited. I think if this is a taste of what we're going to get, I'm excited for the new music.
Yeah. Oh, and Chris, you were talking as I was editing the show, so I'm frantically trying to catch up on Michael Giacchino. I've heard it officially pronounced so many different ways now. What you said about that being one of the earlier choices, what you said, Justin picked it?
No, I did.
You did?
Actually.
Okay.
He and I talked about it.
He was on my short list too. I mean, obviously John Williams is going to have to get replaced at some point, but, I was always a big fan of what he did with Lost and, some of the other shows he's done. I'm on board with this too. I don't think I was the first one to have mentioned his name by any stretch, but early on, I was definitely on board with him being one of the picks. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. Like the TFA trailer, the Force theme, but slowed down really, really, really slow, and then that last chord that they put together at the end. It had kind of a Star Trek feel to it, which is kind of hard to explain, but I loved the way that they resolved that part of the piece from the trailer. And then there's a little bit of that in this trailer.
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of thing. I think it was, again, with the Force theme, too. And I'm really disappointed, like you said, Chris, that we're probably not going to see this on the soundtrack. They need to start putting trailer scores on the soundtracks for films, too.
They really do. Like, right? as bonus content or something. Deluxe edition.
I mean, somebody's got to compose it. And even if they license it from, like, I know Cell Dweller, they do trailer, they do music that's been picked up for different trailers and stuff like that. They still have to pay to license the music for that. Throw it on the soundtrack. Some movies have done that. I don't know. All right.
By the way, we should probably mention briefly that, speaking of the soundtrack, it is currently available for pre-order. It comes out on the same day as the movie. So.
Yes.
Cool.
Very awesome. And then Catalyst, the release date for that's when, November?
Yep. Yeah, sometime in November. I don't know the date, though.
Okay. And then I think the novelization is also on.
Chris and I saw a copy of it.
Moving along.
Probably just a blank
copy,
bunch of pages with a dust jacket around. But it looked
probably
cool.
Just like your Ahsoka novel that you got autographed, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was good, too. Yeah.
Hunks. All right, moving along. About 54 seconds into this, we've got the Dark Imperial hangar thing. You know, the outcropping that comes out that in Rebels they always put an AT-ST on?
Yeah.
Inexplicably.
I was looking for one. I didn't see it.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, no AT-ST? Come on. That's okay. So once again, kind of a showdown there between Jin's dad and Krennic.
Yep.
And
Jin's dad's wearing a uniform.
Yeah, well, he's officially, he's a contractor for the Empire. He should have some kind of official status. And then moving into pretty much right at 1 minute, maybe 1 minute, 1 minute and 1 second, is what I imagine is now going to be a lot of people's new desktop backgrounds. Clouds, and then the Death Star way off in the distance.
I like that. Two things about this. One, it reminds me of the concept trailer that we saw at Celebration.
Yeah.
And two, this is the first time we've actually seen the Death Star in atmosphere. Well, from
atmosphere.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not in an atmosphere.
It's too big to be an atmosphere. Yeah. But
right. But this is the first time we get that perspective of seeing it from inside.
But it also gives us a perspective of how large this thing really is. I mean, I don't think in all the stuff we had in the original trilogy, we could really get a sense of how big this thing was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now you see it compared to a planet. It's like, wow, that's pretty good.
You had no context.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, our moon is not that big, so, yeah. That's such a beautiful shot. The visuals in this trailer are just gorgeous.
Yep.
Then we've got the origin of the Rogue One call sign.
Yeah, yeah. So now we know what the name of the movie really represents.
The only thing I didn't like about that scene, and I really hope that it's just my perspective and the fact that it was just a single line, but the droid's name.
Anyway, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah, Alan well, he's the actor, but I'm trying to think of the actual droid's name.
Is it K2SO?
I think I'm going to call him K2SO?
Is that it?
K2S.
Yeah, it was the K part I was missing. So his voice there sounds too much like C-3PO. It sounds like an American C-3PO. Like it's C-3PO without the British accent. The intonation.
I actually thought of that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't just me?
No, it was not just you.
I'm hoping it's just that one line. And it seems like the interaction with the droid's character and personality is going to come out through some of the visual gags. I say gags, but you know.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we're not going to feel like he's just, you know, American C-3PO. But at this point, I don't know.
Now, the other question is, I mean, I know there's a scene in the trailer where Jin's wearing, Imperial garb and she's with the droid and they're getting ready to go on a mission somewhere. I don't know if in this scene where we see him, he has what looks to be an Imperial logo on her shoulder.
Yes. Yes.
So was he an Imperial droid that they have, taken?
Yes. I don't think that this is a spoiler to say this. I think it may even be on the back of some of the merchandising and such, but he's a reprogrammed
Okay.
Imperial security droid, I believe, like specifically security droid.
Cool.
Yeah. I don't know if they captured him and reprogrammed him for the purpose of this mission, or if they had already captured him, reprogrammed him, and then because they're like, hey, we have this asset, let's use him, and then that's how he got on the mission. So I don't know that much about his backstory, but he's definitely an Imperial droid. And then we have Saw Gerrera. And I have to wonder whether his prominence in the trailers is fan service, or whether his prominence in the trailers is because he actually spends a lot of time in the film. What do you guys think?
Don't know.
I'm not sure, really.
I don't know. I
really don't want to guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to set myself up for my own expectations.
That's fair. That's fair. Well, we know he's not part of the main assault.
Like, zero expectations. Like, before today, I was just like, yeah. Like, I think I've seen the other trailer that came out during the Olympics like 2 or 3 times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this one I've seen like 3 times, and I'll probably not watch it anymore, honestly. I mean, if I see it in a movie, if I go see a movie,
yeah.
And it's there, then I'll see it there, but I'm not going to just like obsess over it.
Yeah. You're not going to seek out viewing opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm probably going to be the same way, I think, but up until about the week before it comes out. All right. So, we've got the obligatory hope speech. And we get to the good stuff, them running through the jungle. Like you said, Lou, wearing the Imperial uniforms. We've got a shot of, is it a group of aliens? Back it up here.
Well, we do get to see that shot of Vader really quick from behind.
Yeah. Oh, it is a so it's a whole race of aliens we haven't seen before.
Just speaking before, of aliens.
Yeah.
I forgot to mention this, but in the near the opening when we see Jen in the cell.
Yeah.
There is an alien sitting across from her, or laying down across from her, and I didn't know if that was something new or something
was
seen
it an
before.
Alien I didn't yeah. take that close a look at it. Okay.
But I don't know what it what it is, but yeah.
No, let's go back and see here. So that would have been about 30 seconds in, I think.
Yeah, like 30.
Oh yeah, you're right, it is an alien.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Looks like it's tentacles on its face or something.
Yeah, it's not it doesn't look like an Aqualish, though. Not an Aqualish, a Quarren, sorry. I don't know. That's a good question.
But I will say this, all the military stuff towards the end of this trailer looks amazing.
Oh my gosh. And then, like, 154. You've obviously got some sort of a battle sequence with fighters. So we were talking about the fact that this is going to be mainly a ground combat movie, and we're right. just not going to see much in the way of starships. I don't know. They've got a bunch of TIE fighters shooting at something.
Any good ground mission has air support, so.
At least the successful ones. Nope. Yeah, here's a bunch of X-Wings at maybe an orbital security station or something.
Yeah, some sort of attack on a station of some sort in orbit.
All right.
Now at 204 maybe? What is that crashing into the ground? We've got somebody in the foreground looking the same.
I know what
cameras.
It is. Michael Bay's ego. Only something that large could cause that big. Okay, I don't know.
So is that a Star Destroyer impacting the ground? I mean that.
Star Destroyer,
when I saw it.
That security space station thing that we might have just seen, whatever that the X-Wings were flying over, it kind of looked reminiscent of the droid ships from Phantom Menace, the Trade Federation capital ships, in the sense that it was circular and had kind of a hub. This seemed to have spokes going out to the
hub. Yeah, it didn't have a lot of meat on it. It was just like a skeleton.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I don't know. That's a really good question. And they timed it in this trailer so that the explosion really, like, you don't actually get to see anything impacting. You're just seeing the explosion.
Right.
Oh, wow. And then go to, like, 208. That's a nice shot, too. The U-Wing coming in with the AT-ATs.
Right.
On the beach.
Right, yep.
Yeah. I'm still torn on the U-Wings. I want to see more about them before I really come to a final opinion on whether I like them or not. I'm really nitpicky about the spaceships. I try not to be, but I like them so much that, like, I'm protective of the designs of the ship. And I like the fact that this is more of a troop carrier, like a combat troop carrier. You've got the
drop ship. Yeah, you want to
Vietnam era door gunners and
insert your troops and that's it.
Yeah. All right. So we're about 2 minutes, 11 seconds. We get the title here.
Mm-hmm.
December 16th in real D 3D. Not that fake D stuff. All right. So. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
So is there anything I hate to immediately be a negative Nancy, but is there anything here that you didn't like?
Now, that's a valid question. No.
I can't think of anything. I mean, I'm pretty happy with what they showed us. I mean, nothing seemed like it was a big reveal that would have been better left on the big screen. You know, that's one thing I always worry about in the trailer.
Yeah.
Everything else just looked awesome. I mean, it makes me want to see this movie soon, sooner than I'd like to. But also makes me want to read Catalyst, too. I mean, the beginning of the trailer with the whole thing about Jin and her father, and that's what Catalyst is going to be about, is, you know, Jin's father starting to work on this new secret weapon and, you know, how that all plays out. I am so excited for that. I can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say this. I'm glad that they didn't have Vader talking.
Yeah.
Even if it was just one word. And although I'm a little disappointed that we saw his, like, full armor, right, you know, coming at us, I think that was good for the general marketing purposes because it shows people who may be seeing this for the first time, oh, that's Darth Vader. This must be around the time of the original movies.
Yeah, that's purely marketing.
Right. This is not a fourth Death Star. If you count circular base.
Yeah. Right.
Darth Vader's not a clone.
Oh, jeez. My gosh. Let's not go there. Don't even start that rumor.
I mean, I'll be very happy if Darth Vader has a very minimal role in this movie.
I think he's going to.
I really hope he does. I don't want to see him in more than a couple scenes.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll see a lightsaber?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think so.
I think, you know, Vader will be there to be imposing and menacing and motivating his workers, maybe. But
we might even see him force choke someone.
Right.
So if they can get the force choke in, then the only thing that this Star Wars movie would be missing over any of the others would be a lightsaber. This would be the only Star Wars film with no lightsaber. Mm-hmm. It would still have his ships. It would still have a Force user, Vader.
And, you know, and if he doesn't Force choke somebody and we don't see any evidence of the Force being used, I'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to be part of this story, really.
Right.
This I'd is supposed really to be about okay the non-superheroes like us guys.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'd like to see more. I like the world building in this planet that they're on. I know that this revolves basically around just one planet, which is also new for a Star Wars movie, but between, you know, this, statue that's fallen over, the marketplace that we've seen several times. I mean, this is a living world. There's a lot going on in this world.
Well, you know, it's just one place, but unlike the rest of the worlds in the Star Wars universe,
there's more than one
environment.
Yeah. Go figure, a planet can have that. Who knew?
The Caribbean beaches, we have, you know. Yeah. So, it's a more diverse biosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, there is one thing. Speaking of beaches, what'd y'all think of the poster?
Are you talking about the one with the helmet?
No, the one that was released today.
I didn't really get a look at it. I'm kind of off the grid today. I'm supposed to be frantically packing and doing laundry and stuff like that for a trip at the moment, which I can't not talk about the trailer because, you know, come on. I didn't actually get to see the poster.
We'll bring it up.
Yeah, it's, let me...
I want your opinions.
Close that down. Although I'm sure StarWars.com's got it.
The Russian helmet poster is pretty cool.
I like that a lot. All right, let's see. StarWars.com. The official. Oh, okay. The one with Jin and then all of the smaller characters below it. Is that the poster?
Yeah.
Okay, I did see it. I just didn't realize that was the poster image. I thought that was just, you know, to promote the trailer. I like it.
It's 10 times better than The Force Awakens.
It feels less like it's trying too hard.
Yeah.
The Force Awakens, I didn't think it was a bad poster, but it was the saga posters, part 7. This doesn't really have to fit into that. You don't have to have, you know, Chewbacca off on one side and a starfighter on the other side going outward and another starfighter coming in on the other. Like, you don't have to have all of that noise in the poster. You've got, I mean, half of the poster is almost just white space, which from a visual design, that's unique for a star. Well, for this type of Star Wars poster, you don't normally get that. So I like it. I think it,
it does feel very Star Wars posterish. I mean, you know, the whole images of all the cast, you know, on the front of the poster with a lot of things going on in the background, you know, Vader's helmet and the Death Star and, you know, all the, you know, I'm not crazy about the troopers in the water. I still don't know how I feel about troopers on Caribbean sand beaches. It just doesn't feel right to me.
Hey, just think, Lou, when you go back on your next Star Wars day at sea, maybe you'll stop at a beach and then there'll be the 51st there and the
big giant.
It won't look that big. It'll be raining. Anytime I go to the Caribbean, it rains. So it'll be dark clouds, you know, heavy winds. It won't look anything like that at all.
So did you guys notice in this poster on the left side of Jin's face, her left? The kind of the circuitry imprinting.
Yeah. Yep.
That's definitely not a opacity level bleed through from the Death Star. And it's not from Darth Vader's helmet.
No, but it's all over her jacket stuff too. I think it's whatever scene they lifted her from. It's reflection off of a screen she's by or something. Cause you can see it's on her shoulder too.
Okay. Good. That would make sense. I don't want it to be like...
No, I don't.
I'm waiting for the internet to erupt saying, oh my gosh, is she a cyborg? Or something like that. Like, I don't want that to be a thing.
I don't want that either. No.
Cyborg.
You know it's going to happen.
But I do like, you know, the bottom, even though I don't like the troopers in the water, I do like all the ships in the sky. I mean, we got X-Wings, we got TIE Fighters, we have the U-Wing.
Yeah.
Got that other new TIE fighter, which I can't remember the name of it.
I had it right up until you said that. Oh, well.
But yeah, it's a good poster. I want one to add to my collection.
Yeah. I mean, I like the poster, but it's hard to pay attention to the poster with the trailer. The trailer's just so awesome. This is... There was so much in this trailer. You've got story elements. You've got some world building elements, perhaps not quite as much of that as in the earlier one. You've got the nature of the conflict between Galen Erso and Director Krennic. You've got the actual ground infiltration. There's so much going on in this trailer compared to the other trailers.
Yeah. And yet, you know, they gloss over it towards the end of the trailer, but all that fighting, man, it looks awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks really, really cool. They've done a nice job with that, and I can't wait to see it on the big screen.
And that's the point of a trailer.
Exactly.
Just get us pumped and excited for the actual movie release.
So now the big question is, when do tickets go on sale?
Yesterday. You missed it. You're...
Oh, well, okay.
You're SOL.
I'll see you in January then.
Yeah, that's what most of us are going to have to do. Yeah. You haven't got your invitation to the Lucasfilm, the California pre-screening yet?
Yeah, I told him I couldn't make it.
Oh, okay.
I got to work that day.
Yeah, well, you know, priorities.
Yeah, I got a thing with those people at that place.
All right, so I think that basically covers it. Anything else you guys want to throw out there before we wrap up?
No, I think I'm happy with where we're at and happy with the trailer.
Cool.
It's hard not to. I'm good.
A couple more times tonight on my big screen.
Yeah. All right. Well, we would love to know what you guys think of the trailer and the poster. But let us know. Does this change your level of interest in the film? Does it diminish it? Does it increase it? Or were you right on track anyway? How does this, if at all, affect where you stand on Rogue One? Let us know. Let us know what you thought of the trailer. Was it good? Chris, you asked earlier, was there any negatives? And there's nothing wrong with saying, well, you know, the stormtroopers walking through the water look kind of weird, like kind of bright and happy, which is awkward for stormtroopers. It's okay to say stuff like that. It doesn't mean we're not going to love the movie. It doesn't, you know, it's okay. Be right. Honest. It's you have to be honest with your feelings in order to be able to look at stuff like this analytically. And if you're not going to be honest about it, there's no point in doing it. Plus, if you just say, oh, everything is awesome and wonderful and incredible. If everything is awesome, then everything's kind of at the same level of, you know, if everything's special, then nothing's special. Right? So yeah. It's okay to say, well, you know, I didn't care for this, but this, oh my gosh, this was like, you know, unbelievable. So yeah, be honest. Let us know what your opinions were of the trailer. You can send them to echobase@randomchatter.com. And here we are. I got to fix this about doing the video shows because I don't actually have any show notes in front of me right now. I'm looking straight at the webcam here. I should have put them up on my iPad. So bear with me. check us out on Facebook. We're actually, we've got someone running our Facebook site now, Derek. Thank you, Derek, by the way. Facebook.com/randomchatternetwork. And Twitter, Joel's been helping us out with our Twitter account. You can follow us at Random Chatter for the whole network. This show is Echo Base Podcast. You can find me at Eric Blythe. That's ERIKBLYTHE. Lou, where can we find you?
Just at my name. It's Lou Secchi. That's LOUSECKI.
All right. And Chris?
At The Curse of Chris.
All right. You can find all of our shows over at randomchatter.com. We have some new shows, not only the Cordcast that Chris has been doing, we have a brand new show. It happens to be Star Wars related, too. It's called, appropriately enough, being that it's launching in October, Ghost Stories. Not those kind of ghost stories. Ghost as in Rebels. Jeez. Ghost Stories, a Rebels podcast. So check that out, randomchatter.com. And you can get all of our network shows over there. Again, the fall TV season is upon us. So Josh and Jay's shows are up and running, and a lot of good stuff going on. I am now back in the swing of things production-wise, so we're going to start trying to get some more video stuff cranked out here. So you will be able to find that stuff at youtube.randomchatter.com. That's going to be the main link for that. It'll be easier for you than, you know, youtube.com, searching for Random Chatter and blah, blah, blah. Just youtube.randomchatter.com. That's where you want to go. What else? I guess that's about it. Quick shout out to all of our Patreon donors. We really appreciate it. We would not be able to do any of this video stuff if it weren't for you guys. We love you guys. You're awesome. We really mean that. We're going to have some announcements coming pretty soon about Patreon and about some other things. So stay tuned. And I think that's it. So we're going to close the blast doors here at Echo Base. Until next week, take care, everybody. Enjoy that trailer.
The Force will be with you always.